good evening. Welcome again to First Wednesday. Who is excited for a move of God tonight? Yes, this can be so good. Our pastor's heart, Pastor Jason, Jessica, their heart for nights like this is so that we can have an extended time of worship and, man, just really let the Lord do what he wants to do. The whole goal of tonight is simply to wait on the Lord. It's just to make some room. How many of you here were here Sunday morning? Sunday morning can fly by, right? Especially with three services on an Easter Sunday, there's just boom, boom, boom. But nights like this are so special because we get a chance to really lean into what the Lord wants to do. And so I'm excited to be here with you. If we have not gotten the opportunity to meet, my name is Taylor. I get to serve as our central worship pastor here. And I am joined by the one and only Elizabeth Clyde tonight.
Hello.
Very excited to be here. Hey, Easter Sunday, I know we keep harping on Easter Sunday, but it's, as you're gonna see in just a second, it's gonna play a massive role in tonight. How amazing was that? I mean, we had three full services. Our kids' services were super slammed. Liz got to serve in kids. Yes.
Any kids workers, I have a new level of respect for you because I helped out in the preschool. It was a war zone. I took such a good nap afterwards.
It was wild. We love our Faith Kids team. They do such a good job of slowing down the moment with those guys. And man, Easter was just, it was just amazing. And we're just going to dive right into tonight. So if you've got your Bible with you, your own copy of God's Word, why don't you turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. We're going to jump into verse 1 there in just a second. All right, Exodus 19. We're going to start with verse 1.
So this is when Moses, he just led the Israelites out of Egypt. And he is going onto the mountain to commune with God. So on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called him to the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possessions among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that shall speak to the people of Israel. And I love what he says, that you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. So he's reminding them the goodness of what he's already done for them and how I bore you on wings of eagles. And just speaks to the past victories that God has done for us. And I feel so often we forget those past victories, and it's so good to be reminded of those.
Oh, that's super good. We definitely move really, really quickly past those past victories. I love that other line where he says, I brought you to myself. And I think it was a unique perspective that I got to have on Sunday morning, where we give the altar call. We ask, you know, Pastor Jason did a wonderful job of saying, hey, if you are ready to surrender your life to the Lord, just lift up your hand as a sign of surrender right now. And I got to see hands go up. And we got close to God on Easter Sunday. I got to see people who were so far from God lift up their hand, and that is such a simple sign of surrender and sign of obedience. But in that moment, that was the most powerful moment that they could have in their entire life, because in that moment, they allowed the Lord to fully take over their heart and not only be the Lord, but also, or not only be the Savior, but also the Lord. There was so much energy in the room on Easter. I can't talk about that enough. There was so much anticipation. And I think that holidays tend to do that a lot of times to us. We're giving God more room to move, right? We're giving him more of the expectancy in our heart. When we walk in there on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday, we are ready for a move of God. And so I think that's what we have. And tonight, we're going to be talking about spiritual milestones, spiritual mountains, spiritual highs, or anything like that, if you want to say that. And I think it's important that we don't negate those. We don't say that those are just surfacey emotional things. We need those mountaintop moments, right? Because nothing builds your faith like experiencing the presence of the Lord in a real and intangible way. And one of my other favorite things I think about the scripture that I want to bring out is in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. And I think that it's really important for us to know that obedience alone is what brings the blessing, right?
So not perfection?
Not perfection.
Not striving?
You're going to make me sing that song. Don't do that. I'm obsessed with a song called The Blood right now. And the bridge says, it's never been about performance, perfection, striving for acceptance or something like that. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood that it, oh man, yeah, no, don't even say amen or anything, because I will take off and we will have a whole moment. It'll be good. But obedience alone is what brings the blessing, and it assures the status and the privilege from the Lord. All that Israel needed to do, right, was initially for salvation from Egypt. Remember, we're in Exodus. This is the great exit out of Egypt. All that they needed to do initially for salvation from Egypt was accept God's deliverance. And it's no different today, is it? All we have to do is accept God's deliverance. See, when it talked about being a holy nation as well, right there at the end, that just pretty much means that they were supposed to be a nation who is set apart from the other nations to belong to God. And just like the spiritual mountain moments that those received on Easter Sunday and that many of us experienced on Easter Sunday, Moses experienced something really similar with God on a literal mountaintop moment. But something interesting happens later on in Exodus 32. So would you lead us into that moment?
So I'm just going to do, it's the ESV, the Elizabeth Standard Version.
I like that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just going to summarize a little bit. So Moses is going up and down, just, you know, being the messenger from God. So he goes up the mountains and he's a little late. He's a little delayed.
Sure.
And the people of Israel are just wondering what happened to him. Surely he died. What's taking him so long? And so this is where we hear about the golden calf and where they take all the jewelry that they brought from Egypt and all the stuff that made them comfortable, and they created their own god, their own idol, and their own calf. And while Moses was on the mountain, God was like, yo, Moses, your people, they acting a little crazy right now. They're getting a little too full of themselves. You need to go down there and remind them who I was. So Moses went down the mountain. Really, it was just a lot. Like, I don't know exactly how tall Mount Sinai is, but he went up and down the whole lot.
It's a mountain.
So he has some great calves.
Yeah.
But Moses goes down, and he pretty much puts the people back in their place. He actually burns down the calf into water and makes them drink it. So that's pretty savage of him.
Yeah, talk about pastoral, you know, discipline.
Yeah, we get mad when people tell us that, hey, you probably shouldn't be associating with those things. I'm trying to protect you. And we get so upset when people put those disciplines that we crave into our lives. But we need that shepherd. We need that person to say, hey, this isn't good. You're going away from God. Let me stir you back. And so Moses goes down the mountain and does that. And then he goes back up the mountain to commune with God and say, these people have sinned, like, and petition to get redemption for them.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I get really upset when I look at Facebook articles that people share of yet another pastor having a moral failure, you know? It is becoming something that is way, way too common these days. And that's why I think that it's so important that God says, you are going to be to me a holy nation, a nation that is set apart. And we can go back and forth on whether that means we can or cannot wear ripped jeans or hats in church. Sorry, Mom. I just realized I'm wearing my hat in church.
But even he's calling a people, he's not saying a few are going to be the priest. He's saying this whole nation.
Yeah.
So we can't just keep on looking to pastoral staff or pastoral leadership to hold our hands. Mm. He's given us the authority. And I love how what you were saying after Easter, you said, like, we took off the suits, we took off the nice clothes. Being transparent, the jumper I wore is in the corner, not even in the hamper. It's just wrinkled mess in the corner of our bedroom. But when you get off that mountain, just like when Moses got off that mountain and Israel's acting like a hot mess, your mess is still there after the mountaintops. And I know we can get, it's so good, like after I go to women's retreat or if I go to a conference and you get that spiritual high, it makes your mess feel so much harder, because what we do is we romanticize that being closer to God makes our mess go away. And being closer to God makes lives easier because Jesus loves us. But gosh, it's because I married a worship pastor. It's always about that song. But what's that song where you can hang me there with you in the cross?
Yeah, if the cross brings transformation, you can
hang me there with you.
Yeah.
And so what we do is, we just like the people of Israel, when they're like, where are you at, Moses? And they go back to what they were familiar with. We go back. When we go into the valley, we forget what God did for us on the mountains. And that's why it's so good to remember what God has done for us, even after Easter Sunday.
That is so good. They literally said to Aaron, as for this man Moses that brought us out, we have no idea what's come of him. Who knows? Anyways, let's build this idol. It seems pretty intense and pretty rushed. But as amazing and as emotionally high and spiritually high as Easter got us, we experienced this mountaintop moment. We found the Lord. We experienced his presence. It was an amazing thing. God moved. Now what? Right? Just like what you said, we get back home and it's the same old stuff.
The same diagnosis is still there. Your same financial situation is still there. I'm sure a lot of you guys, not me because I'm on spring break, but most of you went to work on Monday and you're the same toxic workplace boss may have still been there, you know?
Yep. So tonight, we got about 5 minutes left. All right?
Go.
So we want to give you very practical things on how you can sustain your spiritual fervor with the Lord even after a mountaintop moment, right? Because Easter is this high moment, it's this amazing thing, and then you get right back home and you're in the same stuff that you probably were in before
that. I already ate so much Easter candy because the day was so stressful.
I still have the Easter candy with me. It's here. It's always with me. It's always with me. Just like the Lord. Just kidding. So I'm going to give you three quick things that will hopefully encourage you. So if you have your phone, why don't you pull it out in your notes, or maybe you're writing this stuff down. Three really quick things to help you carry on what the Lord started in those big spiritual milestones of your life. Number one, mark it. I am very big on when there's a big move of God in a service or something like that, I will physically write it down in a journal, or I'll write it down on my phone. This could even mean that you put a calendar event on your Google Calendar, right? Like, this could be as simple as that. But if you had a powerful and an incredible life-changing moment with the Lord, wouldn't you want to remember that 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road? I mean, some of us can remember the day of our salvation, right? And that's a powerful thing. So the first one is mark it. And there's so much power with that. We've got a folder at home where we keep all of the thank you cards that people send us throughout the years. People are so kind. So when you do a little bit of extra stuff and they give you this thank you card, we like to keep that. And in those difficult moments where you find yourself struggling or where you're kind of feeling low or things like that, it's amazing to have a tangible place that you can open up and see all of these different cards and all these different handwritings of encouragements and notes of love that people have given us. So number one, mark it.
Number two is mention it.
Yeah.
So tell someone. It's by the blood of the lamb and the word of your testimony that you overcome. So if something good happens to you, tell someone about it. You don't know that your story can encourage them and then just stroke the flame of someone else's faith. If you've received healing, there's someone that has gone into the season that you just came from and they need your story. So make sure you mention it. Mention the goodness of God. And it really does seal it in your heart the more you talk about it.
And I like, we specifically chose the phrase mention it, not just because it starts with M and all the other ones just so happen to start with M. That's crazy coincidence, right? But mentioning it, it doesn't mean making a massive spectacle of it. Mentioning it is just you going to coffee that you already planned with a friend. And you guys talk about everything that you've already planned on talking about. Oh, and by the way, God did this amazing thing. And here's what that does. I think for the risk of sounding like it normalizes the move of God, it makes it accessible for people. Because if you're talking to an unbeliever, you're talking to somebody that has never had a powerful move of God in their life, and you start talking about how you had this massive thing and chains were falling and strongholds were breaking, hallelujah, some people get lost with all that, right? So when you just mention it and you just throw in there, hey, like, you know, I've just really been finding a lot of peace because of the time that I've been spending with the Lord and because of this time I've been spending in my Bible. You're not making a massive deal about it, but you do normalize it and you make it accessible for those around you. So number one, mark it. Number two, mention it. And number three, move forward. Liz yep. didn't like me saying move on, but move
forward. Just move
forward.
On sounded kind of negative. Yeah. But when you move forward, it's not just saying, hey, I'm going to forget what God has done. But just like how the Israelites couldn't stay in Egypt, they had to keep moving into what God has called them, into the nation they are. You have to continue to move forward with your faith. You never want to stay the same, because if you're not growing, you're dying. And so when you move forward, it's not forgetting what God has done, but it's like, God, here I am. What's next? How can you build upon this foundation that you have set before me?
Yeah, no, that's so good. So mark it, mention it, and move forward. But one of the greatest attributes, I think, of our God is that even when we feel like we have missed the mark, or even we don't feel like we haven't quite hit his standard for our life, how many of you know that he never leaves us in our brokenness? Isn't that amazing? That's my favorite thing about our God. That's my life verse, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were living completely contrary to him, Christ died for us. So I want to wrap this up tonight before we continue in worship by reading from Exodus chapter 34. And I'm just going to really quickly fly through it. The Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready by the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you. Let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite of that mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai just as the Lord commanded him. And he took in his hands two tablets of stone. Verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. We'll jump down to verse 10 here in chapter 34. And he said, and I want you to catch this tonight. And he said, behold, I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. How many of you want to see God do something awesome with you? Now, here's the cool part about that, and I didn't catch this until just now. That last part says, it's an awesome thing that I will do with you. It doesn't say, it's an awesome thing that I will do through you, right?
Or for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. All that we are, the part that we are playing, the participation that we get to do is that we are just, we're in it. We're in the thing, right? We're not necessarily the hero of the story, unpopular opinion in the Western church, right? In our selfish society and culture, we're not guaranteed to be the hero or even the main character, probably is better, but it's an awesome thing that God is setting a covenant that he will do with you. And that is still such an encouraging thing. We also see this idea that this is going to be an ongoing thing that we should expectantly look towards. If God makes a covenant with his people, he's not going to break it. His people may break it. But how many of you know that verse that says that he's never going to leave us or forsake us? Now, we can distance ourselves from him. But he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, right? He is never going to leave us or forsake us. So would you stand to your feet with me tonight? We're gonna prepare to go back into a time of worship, and Sophie's gonna lead us with the team. And here's my charge for you, and it's the same as Pastor Jason last time we had First Wednesday. But it's that this place would be a house of prayer, and that this place would be turned into a house of worship. There is nothing that we can give you out of the wisdom of man that is going to change your life and give an eternal impact. But one moment in the presence of God can change everything, right? One moment with him can change everything. And so here's what I want to lead you in. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then I'm going to open these stations up. I was going to do it a little bit later, but we might as well do it now. We've got a communion station right here. And so you are welcome to maybe get with your family or just yourself, go over there and grab an element and take a second and pause and really reflect on that passage over there. And then over here, we've also got a prayer station. If we've got any altar workers that are trained in the room, you can hang out over there if you'd like to. But also specifically, we have these cards. And our pastoral team would love to partner with you and agree with you in prayer. So if you've got something difficult, please don't walk through that alone. God does not want you to walk through that alone, and neither do we. So go over, grab a card, and then once you fill that out, feel free, like we usually do, you can just set those right here on the edge of the stage. We'll collect them, and our pastors during the week will take time and pray over those as well with you. Man, God's been good, right? God has been so good. He's been so faithful. I just love this. I love that you've made time to set yourself apart and to consecrate a little bit of time on a Wednesday night. Father, we thank you for your presence that is already here, was already here long before we got here. We thank you that we don't have to conjure up your presence. We don't have to manifest anything. We don't have to beg you to come and to stay in our presence, in our midst. You are already here. You are omnipresent. You are always with us. And we thank you for your presence, God. In your presence is the fullness of joy. So, Lord, I pray that as we walk around this room, as we lift up prayers to you, as we take communion and remember you, as we fill out those prayer cards, God, I pray that you would meet us right where we are. You're already here. You're already moving in this place. We are standing on holy ground with you. We are standing in a holy moment with you, God. So we ask that you would encounter our hearts in a powerful way, Jesus. Move in power in this place. We give you the glory, the honor, and the power, and the praise. And everyone said, amen and amen. Take some time, walk around, fill this room with prayer, grab some communion, grab a prayer card, and we'll give you a little bit more direction as we continue through the night.